this and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center, and I'm your host, Fran Capo, and this is Fran's World, a show about humor, health, happiness, and finding your passion in life. So I always like to start out with what my passion is and what I was doing over the weekend, but I actually went, what did I do over the weekend? Oh, this is what I wanted to tell you guys about. Did you ever hear of a thing called high heel hangover? No, you're a guy. Why would you hear that? Because you don't wear high heels. Okay, so here's the deal. I was at a wedding, and I was dancing with high heels for 3 days, and I was hiking. And then the next day after I got out, my foot was, like, swollen and red. And I'm like, this never happens when I'm, like, hiking and wearing high heels. So I'm looking, and I'm going, did I break my foot? Did I break my toe? What happened, right? So I look up, and sure enough, there is a thing called high heel hangover. I'm like, who has high heel hangover? So apparently, the way to get rid of high heel hangover is you have to ice your foot, but make sure you stay warm. So now you're sticking your frozen, swollen toe, I mean, your heated, swollen toes in some ice water. And you're, you know, then getting them, the swelling going down. Then you have to raise your feet. And then you have to massage with moisture your calves. And then in a couple of days, you get rid of it. Of course, I did not know that initially. So I was doing the total opposite. I was putting my feet in warm water with magnesium and lavender. I was actually stretching I was doing everything I wasn't supposed to do, and then it got worse, and then all of a sudden I was like, this is not working, and I looked it up, and I found out. So for those of you out there, if you wear high heels and your foot swells up, and you're like, I broke my toe without knowing it, without having to call an attorney because you had an accident you didn't know about, what you do is you look up high heel hangover, you find the recipe for it, and then in a couple of days, you could walk again and sneak and you feel fantastic. All right. That's my point of letting you guys know what a great thing you should do. Oh, and I have one more thing. I always talk about it's summer now, summer reading. I have my book, Hopeville, The City of Light, which is one of my 20 books that I wrote. It contains the 44 secrets to happiness, but I just got this call. Harrison, by the way, is our engineer that is in for Matt today. Hey, Harrison, how you doing? You relaxed and calm now? Okay, good. So Hopeville, the City of Light, I got a call actually this morning as I was leaving to come here. And what happened was this guy from Jamaica called me, and he told me that he had gotten actually hijacked in a taxi cab, and they took his ring and his jacket and his wallet. But when I was in Jamaica, I gave him a copy of my Hopeville book. He actually called from Jamaica to tell me that the book changed his life and that he's using it as a guide throughout his life. And if I could please send him another copy. So I am absolutely going to be sending Edward. We'll be getting another copy in Montego, actually in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. And now we are going to start the show here. The show is not possible unless we have sponsors. And we have some fantastic sponsors, but first you need to know that the show is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Center, Facelift Paintings, Reverso Associates, and Westchester County Office of Economic Development. Now, I am pleased here. My first guest, all right, now, I don't know if you call this nepotism because she's part of the family. Okay, so my first guest here is Pam Littman. Now, Pam is a very interesting story here, so I'm going to, because, you know, I don't have people's things memorized here. Okay, first of all, let's start with some statistics. You know, there are 107,918 foster children eligible for and waiting to be adopted. That's according to 2014, 50,644 foster kids were adopted, a number that has stayed routinely consistent for the past 5 years in the U.S. The average waiting time for a child to be adopted is 7.7 years, and 29% of them will spend at least 3 years in foster care. They say the most current figure is there are more than 400,000 children in foster care in the U.S., and there are over 153 million children worldwide who are orphans. Our first guest here is Pam Davis Littman. She's a mother of three children and just started working at the very same adoption agency that she was adopted at as a child, Spencer Chaplin Agency. And at the tender age of 2.5, she was adopted. Since knowing you were adopted might be a hard thing for kids to accept, Pam decided to write a book called My New Family and Me, which helps kids that are adopted through rhyme and through wonderful illustration understand the adoption process and that the parents that adopted you loved you so much they wanted to make you part of the family and take you home. Pam is a member of the Society of Children's Books and Writers Illustrators. Please welcome Pam Littman.
It's a pleasure to be here, Fran.
So, Pam, this is what I want to ask you. You know, in the beginning of your book, you explain the story of how you got adopted at the age of 2.5. I think the audience should hear that so they understand what it was like for you.
Actually, my first memory is being in the adoption agency and seeing my parents for the first time. I was on a warm radiator. It was in February. And my mother came in and she started crying. My father calmed her down. And, you know, they started playing with me. And my mother said that I knew from the beginning that you were meant to be our child. And I actually have vivid memories of being in court. But those were my first memories.
Now, so when you say your mom, you're referring to your adopted mom.
Adopted mom, yes.
Okay, now, just out of curiosity, did you understand that you were actually being adopted? How did they tell you that you were meeting these two people that might take you home?
I don't really remember that, but the agency guides the potential adopted parents on how to proceed so the child eases into the new home without, you know, being fearful or... And it was a connection right away. I even look like my adopted mother.
Oh, well, that's an extra plus if you're out in the street and someone says, hey, wait a minute, is that kid yours?
Yes, absolutely.
Then you look like the mother. Now, in your book, you said that it was the Louise Wise Adoption Agency in New York City. But actually, the cool thing is now you work for Spence Chapman Agency, which you said is the same adoption agency, is it?
It's a sister agency. Louise Wise was primarily adopting out Jewish children, whereas Spence Chapman, I just found this out interesting, Catholic children were being adopted out of the agency. And I love it. I just connected right away with the people that a lot of social workers, a lot of adoption attorneys. And it's funny how it comes full circle. And I feel like I'm home again. And I'm giving back.
Well, now, so that's really cool. So you got adopted from that agency. Did you know the name of the agency that you got adopted, or as you were an adult, you said, where did I get adopted from?
As an adult, and information started coming out, and I was curious about my background. And when I got married and had my children, they were my first blood relatives that I met, and we had Aaron. And my husband and I are both dark.
And who's Aaron?
Aaron's my oldest son. He's 24. And he came out, he's a towhead. Blonde as blonde can be. And I knew absolutely nothing about my medical history, which was so important because the doctor would ask me when I was pregnant. I didn't know. So that's what prompted me to find my biological parents. I found them within a half an hour, so it was meant to be. I asked my parents, Gloria and Eddie, if they would mind. They said no. They figured it might happen one day because I was 2.5 and I was older, and they were very open about it.
So at what age did you seek out your birth parents, your mother?
In my early 30s. And it was amazing because I got very lucky. Both sides, my mother and my father's side, embraced me. And my mother actually met my aunt. And it was just like one big happy family. And it's very interesting because it's like I'm like a science experiment, nurture versus nature. I walk into my biological cousins' homes and I see the same artwork. My biological mother played with her hair. Her favorite color was blue, like me. So many things, just the things that I found out, or you couldn't make this stuff up.
So when you meet your birth mother, and obviously now you've been raised by your adopted mother, who you call mom, do you then call both of them mom?
No, I called my biological mother Pearl. She gave me life, and my parents raised me, so they're my parents. I got lucky. I have two mothers who happen to be buried next to each other. Crazy story.
Oh, my gosh.
When my... Ugh, you really want to hear this?
Yes.
When my... My mother was from California, and she... When she died, they said, is there a next of kin? Yes, daughter. So, they, you know, she was cremated, and I inherited her ashes.
Now, who are you talking about? You're going to have to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about my biological mother, Pearl.
Okay. Use her name.
Yeah, okay. And so I called the rabbi, and I said, Rabbi, I have these ashes of my biological mother. Where do I bury her? I mean, what do I do with the ashes? Well, bury her. Make it final. So I happened to have had an extra grave because my adopted mother died a few years prior. So they're buried next to each other.
Wow.
So when I go visit, my two mothers.
That is...
Must be having a ball.
Well, that's cool, because they're probably talking about, did you know that Pam does this, Pam does that. Now, let me ask, you also had an adoptive brother.
Yes.
that your adoptive parents, who you consider your actual parents,
right.
As Leslie, no.
Eddie and Gloria.
Davis.
Yes.
Okay. Eddie and Gloria Davis are your adopted parents, who you call your parents because they were... Okay.
Yeah.
So they adopted a brother. And did you feel jealousy when they adopted him?
Not at all. I wanted a little brother or sister. And he was a foster child in the beginning. And my parents fell in love with him. He was as tiny as can be. He was a little preemie. And I thought he was my doll. And my mother used to say, put the baby down. Stop butchering him. Put him down. You're hugging and kissing him too much. So, no, I treated him like he was my, you know, I took care of him. I got older, babysat for him. So, absolutely not.
So, let me ask you. So, all right. So, you're home. They leave. They go to the adoption agency. Do they tell you we may be coming home with a little brother?
It's very vague. He's a foster child, and just one day, bam, he's this little doll, you know, when I come home from school in the house. So I don't remember my parents talking to me about it. But, you know, it's just... Yeah.
Okay, so now, how does that work? Because what is the difference between foster and adoptive?
I was also a foster child. I had two foster homes. And the difference is when you're a foster child, the families take you in and hope that you will be adopted, and they keep you there until you are. Unfortunately, a lot of children are adopted later on in life. But I was, my biological mother wanted to keep me, but she wasn't able. She said she loved my father. They had a nice little romance. And, so I was in foster. She wanted to keep me. So I was not available to be adopted. So I was in two foster homes. They called my parents, my adopted parents one day, Louise Wise, and said, run to the agency. We have a little girl who's available for adoption. Obviously, my biological mother had relinquished and signed the papers finally. And again, it was just love at first sight.
Now, I understand. So legally, what happens is once the mother gives the child, the birth mother gives the child up for adoption, once she signs those papers, she no longer has parental rights. And then the adopted parent, she can't take them, say, oh, I changed my mind, and take them back. So she gets to keep them. Now, what is the criteria for people to adopt a child? Can they be single? Can they be gay? Can they be, you know, trans? I mean, what are the requirements?
Anything. Today, thank goodness, people are more open-minded, and love is love. As a matter of fact, I'm marching in the Pride Parade on Sunday with my daughter and people from Spence Chapin. And a lot of same-sex marriage couples are adopting children. As a matter of fact, I made friends recently with Rob Shear, and he's amazing. Yeah.
By the way, Rob is going to be a guest today on the show. Unfortunately, he had a kidney stone. He wasn't able to come, but we invited him next month. He'll be on the show, and he'll be able to talk about that. And he's got a fascinating story, and Pam had introduced me to him. But what I'm saying, when I'm saying the criteria, I understand that you're talking about love, but how do they check that somebody doesn't have a criminal background? I mean, like, what kind of criteria in that aspect, not the love aspect, how do they make sure these are going to be good parents?
Well, they do a background check. Okay. It's a long process. They have to visit, you know, the home, make sure that the parents are stable, have a good relationship, and the children will be cared for and have a stable home. And again, it's a long process to interview these parents and.
So do they come into the home and check that they have a bedroom for them? Do they check what the income is? Is there a limit on, hey, this person's been out of work for, that's what I'm saying.
Everything. They check everything. And they make surprise visits to the home. And they have to provide a wonderful home and life for these children.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because you don't want a child going from, the fire into the fire pit. You want to make sure that the child is adopted into a good home. Now, it's not cheap to adopt. I know it sometimes depends. It could be anywhere from $40,000 to $34,000 if you do independent. But if you're a foster parent, it's only like between $0 and $2,500. So if you wanted to be a foster parent and help out a kid in the meantime, you could do that. Pam, what is the name of the agency that you work with again? And could you give us their website?
It's Spence Chapin, and the website is SpenceChapin.com, and they're on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and they also have the foster children come in, and they put on shows for the children on Sunday, and I'm getting actually involved with the galas and stuff like that. So this is all new to me, and I love it.
You know what? I love that it came full circle. I love that you were adopted. I love that you're now in my family, and I didn't even know you were adopted.
I love you, Fran.
And, this is like a love fest. And I didn't even know that you were adopted until you came out with the book.
Fran, a fun fact.
Yeah.
Your father-in-law, Basil Davis, was one of the first family members that I met.
Oh, see? I love this. See, and luckily I met Basil. There's a lot of fun facts in the family. In everybody's family, they got a lot of fun facts. So, Pam, thank you so much for being on and being honest and talking about that. And again, guys, her book is called My New Family and Me, written by Pamela Lippman. And it's illustrated, easy to read, and in the back it even has a section for kids that are adopted to fill out so they could have their little history in there. I understand you're writing another book. Good luck with that. And folks, we'll be back with more Fran's World right after this commercial break. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Fran.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community, as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side, an experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit ReversoAssociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Adventure Girl, explore your world, live it fast, and make it last.
And we're back. You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. Yes, we're in the middle of a mall, and there are people walking around going, look, they're doing a radio show. All right. I'm your host, Fran Capo, and this is Fran's World. It's a show about humor, happiness, health, and you just heard us speaking to Pam about her experience at the adoption center and being adopted in the loving family, and we're going to continue, but of course, you can't continue unless you have sponsors. Now, who are our sponsors? Well, first of all, you know the show is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy. We have Warburg, Durante Rentals, J.P. McHale Pest Management, Northeast Environmental, Robeson Sailing Golf Club, and Michael Labriola, Inc., and Northeast Environmental. And be sure to download the Westchester Talk Radio app at iTunes at Westchester Talk, because otherwise, if you don't download the app, how are you hearing us except live? Or you can go to FranCapo.com, because in a few days after our new engineer, Harrison here, he's not our new engineer, he's one of our additional engineers because Matt said, hey, I need a day off. So Harrison will be putting up the episode, and it will be at FranCapo.com, and you will see the beautiful pictures of my guests here, Marcel and Pam, up on the website with me. So outside of that, be sure, please, to like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio. And you always can go to Instagram, the real Fran Capo, as opposed to the fake one. I don't know who she is, but go to the real Fran Capo. All right. Now, my next guest. All right, this is going to be a challenge, only because I've asked him 6 times how to pronounce his last name. But, okay. So, my next guest I met at an event called Talk Walk. And we were walking over Kensico Dam at Toby Nadler's event. And we just clicked. And he just, like, had a fascinating story of what he was doing. So, I invited him to be on today as a guest. So, my guest is Marcel. And his last name is Havarimana. You know what? I don't have the accent. He does. He's got the, you know, magical voice. He's originally from the Republic of Burundi, and he will explain where that is. He's a former professional of organizational behavior and business management in New York City. Today, he is the national champion manager, campaign manager of an organization that promotes financial literacy, because a lot of people are just really stupid when it comes to finances. I got $5. Let me spend $6. No, that's not how it works. The goal is to create a movement to help 1 million families become financially literate, but if I could say the word, financially literate by the year 2020. His organization, World System Builders, conducts workshops in his office and or they visit the communities themselves and the families where they live. Those workshops are free of charge, folks, and consist of debt management, asset accumulation, retirement planning, wealth protection, college planning, building a strong financial foundation, and much more. His home office is located in Middletown Road in the Bronx, but he's going to tell us all about that. So please welcome my guest, Marcel. Now, Marcel, say the last name.
Javier Imana.
You see what I mean? See how nice he says it? Okay. Now, first, for many who don't know, can you describe where in Africa Burundi is?
The Republic of Burundi is on the heart of Africa. It's located in East Africa. It borders a small country called Rwanda. And next to it, there is a big country called the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and then Tanzania.
And it's also south of the equator, if you're trying to just figure out where in the world. And I've been to Tanzania. Yes, and I loved it. I have not been to your republic, but I've been to Tanzania, and it was great. Now, my son and I climbed Kilimanjaro there. The national language is Kirundi. Can you say hello to my audience in Kirundi?
Amahoro neza.
Wow, that's a lot for one word. Okay, let me try it. What is that?
Amahoro.
Amahoro?
Neza.
Neza. Amahoro neza. Oh, yes. My gosh, that's great. Thank you. Okay, so now we welcomed everybody. Okay, now, Burundi, when I was looking up, is one of the countries in the world. Unfortunately, it's one of the poorest countries, with 90-95% of the population lives more than on $2 a day. And it's also one of the most dense countries in Africa, with 248 people per square mile. So I think it is fascinating that you, your work, your love, your passion is dedicated to helping people understand how to manage their finances.
Yes, that's correct. Being born and raised in the Republic of Burundi and seeing how people are struggling, it's amazing to notice that since I came to America, one of the richest country in the world, many people are struggling as well. So I came to this country. I went to graduate school, Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, and I did a master's in agribusiness economics. I wrote a thesis, which...
At what age did you come to this country?
I was 28 when I came to this country.
Okay.
So I studied agribusiness economics, and my thesis was on coffee, the study of African green coffee market in the United States. I was lucky and I was very happy because my scholarship was funded by USAID, United States Agency for International Development. And today, USAID is helping African countries promote their coffee here in America. And I'm lucky, I'm one of those people who have been selected to do so. I just came from a business trip in Rwanda and Burundi, where we visited farmers and we visited coffee washing stations, and thanks to the U.S. government, the World Bank, and the USAID.
That is so awesome. So it started from a thesis, and it became actually something that now is helping thousands of people, I would imagine.
That's correct. Now, I'm promoting the coffee from Burundi to the United States, and I hope to raise the welfare of the population. In addition to that, I attended the Wake Forest University in North Carolina, and I did an executive MBA. I was in finance department, and upon my graduation, I was hired by a school here in New York City to teach organizational behavior and business management. Unfortunately, because of the financial crisis, the school closed down, and I had to find something else to do. I was hired by a financial company on Wall Street, and I worked there for a couple of years. But realizing that many people are struggling economically and financially, I thought that it should be my duty to give back to the community, social responsibility. So I opened an office in the Bronx so that I can be close to the people I need to help, to teach them how to be financially literate.
See, and I love the slogan on your website. It says, bring Wall Street to Main Street. And your goal is teaching without confusing and complex jargon. In other words, you're not trying to use these highfalutin words. You're basically saying, okay, guys, this is what you need to do. You do X, Y, and Z. This will help you. This will help you save. And according to the website, which your website, which I found out, it says in the U.S., 33% of Americans don't pay their bills on time. That's about 77 million people who don't know the basics of just getting your bills paid on time so you can have a good credit rating. And if you have a good credit rating, then you could get a house, you could get a car, and that's very important. 39% carry credit card debt from month to month, and only 59% of adults have a savings. And I'm sure some of them, like I said, have horrible credit scores. So how does your service work, and what does it teach to get people to be able to get on board with getting their finances in order?
Very good. What we do is very simple. We don't speak or we don't teach finance in a complicated language or complicated manner. We want to do it the way that everybody can understand how the system works and what they can do about it.
So can you give us an example? Can you give us a tip that someone right now could leave with if they knew, one tip that you could give?
Yes. For example, in my office on 3030 Middleton Road here in the Bronx, we conduct different workshops. Among those workshops, there is a debt management. We teach people how to get out of debt. This is very interesting, and anybody who can follow our advice, they can get out of debt easily. Second thing, we teach people how to do college planning. You know, many people, including myself, unfortunately, if you go to graduate school in America, you don't have a scholarship, you end up with a lot of school loans. Now, we try to help people, families, to save money so that they can send children to any school in America debt-free.
But now, how does someone save money? If let's say they only make, and I'm just using it as a round figure, let's say someone only made $100 and their bills were $150, you know, to buy food. And how do they save if they're not making enough? How do you teach them? Do you teach them tithing? Do you teach them, does it matter, take 10% out no matter what?
The way we teach people is very simple. People talk about investment, but before they invest, they have to have a financial foundation. So in other words, we teach people how to get out of debt. Regardless of how much money they are making, try to save as much as they can. And then once they get out of debt, we teach people to save money for tomorrow. Like
a rainy day.
A rainy day.
Right.
So in other words, you don't have to save tons of money, but you can have a little bit, like for 3 months saving in case of some things happen to you. So people make $100, but they spend $120. This is American way. I'm sorry to tell you this, but this is the reality. American people, they live on credit. So we try to teach them how to avoid to spend more than what they make. It's very simple.
So if you make $100, you make sure that you only spend $95 and take that other $5 and put it in savings. So you're saying no matter how little, just if you put a little bit aside, and that builds up a nest egg over time.
That's correct. If you make $100, we will try to explain you, to teach you how you can save money. For example, instead of eating out 5 times a week, you can do it once or twice and buy grocery, then go cook at home. Instead of going out and have a drink every single day, you can wait until the weekend, you do it once a week. Instead of buying 3 or 4 cups of coffee every day, you can buy 1 or 2 and save money at the same time.
Or you buy the coffee from you, and then they get really good coffee. Now, go ahead. So those are great tips. They're so simple and logical, but a lot of people don't know that because they feel like, no, but I'm going to be deprived. But you're not deprived if it later on you're going to benefit because you'll be able to buy a house, so you'll be able to send your kid to college. So the benefits that are the future benefits outweigh the immediate gratification.
Excellent. For those people who are listening, if you can come to my office, or if you can invite me and I come talk to your communities, your families, I'm sure you remember me forever. I will teach you what the IRS doesn't want you to know.
Okay, Now it's getting real interesting. He's got secrets for you that the IRS doesn't want you to know. In other words, how you can save money legally.
How you can save money legally, and how we can minimize or avoid taxes legally. People don't know that. I know that. And also, I can tell you, I can teach you what banks don't want you to know. It's illegal. I know how to do it. I can teach you, and you can save money. For instance, very simple. Many people, like 85% of the population, they save the money in their bank account. Why? Because it's safe, supposedly, and also it's easily accessible. You can get money from an ATM anytime you want to. But you get how many return on investment?
Very little.
Very little. 0.01 to 2% maximum. So, and then at the end of the year, this tax now, and they will send you a 1099 form, and then you have to pay tax on that money. I can tell you, if you want to, where 10% of the population save money in 401k, 403b, stocks, mutual fund, real estate, and so on. That's kind of tricky because you don't pay tax now, you pay tax later. My question to you, would you like to pay tax on seeds or would you like to pay tax on harvest? You understand the difference. I'll teach you all this stuff. You understand that is 95% of the population. Now, 5% of the population, only 5% of the population, they know where to save the money and they can take advantage of taxes. How do they do that? Those who are lucky that make $250,000 per year, they have a lot of financial advisors, Fidelity Investment, JP Morgan Chase, to name the few. But the rest, they don't have any advisor. They don't have any idea for how to do it. That's what I'm doing. I'm bringing this from the Wall Street to the Main Street. I'm coming to talk to the real people, those 95% of the population who need those services. And I'm telling you, if we sit down and talk one-on-one or you come to the workshop, you remember me forever.
I remembered you just from the walk. And again, the website is World System Builder, singular, worldsystembuilder.com. And, you know, you think it may not be important, but it is really important. Unfortunately, they don't teach this in schools, which is something they should, because these are the real life things you need to know when you go into the world. And if you get the knowledge from Marcel, there's no reason not to go to Marcel to get the knowledge because the workshops are free, correct?
They are free, correct. And if I can add to what she just said, only in the continental USA, there are only three states that are required to teach financial literacy in schools. The rest, they don't.
What states?
So if you don't get then the education from the school, you don't get education from your home. You don't get education from financial advisor. What do? You don't do nothing. So that's why you need to call me, 646-400-4154, or visit my website, www.worldsystembuilder.com. Or please come to my office, 3030 Middleton Road, Bronx, New York, 10461. And then we'll teach you all this that you need to know. We'll teach you what the 5% of the population know and the 95% of the population don't know. That's my responsibility, to give back to the community. Thank you.
You know, I love it because we had a show about love of people, and now we have a show again. I mean, and Marcel, you're also love of people because you want people to be a success. And it's good for the country when everyone is a success. You don't want people reliving the generation that their parents had, you know, doing the same mistakes. And usually the only thing we could model ourselves after is what we learn. And if we don't learn it, then we have no way of knowing what to do. So you're offering a fantastic service. And Marcel, do you have one last thing you want to say to my audience?
Yes. Among those workshops that we do or when we visit people, I will just give you an idea of what we address, such as, are you still suffering from financial losses as a result of the recent economic downturn? Are you concerned about any of the following: too many bills or debt, lack of savings or of investment for retirement, lack of preparation for your kids' college education, not having enough protection in case of disability, and so on. Do you want to learn how to learn to send your children to school without debt? Do you want to learn how money works and how to build a stronger foundation?
There's tons more stuff that he has here. And so the best thing to do is just go to his website, worldsystembuilder.com. And so I hope you enjoyed the show today. I want to thank our guests again. We had Pam Lippman and Marcel Havarimana. But the main thing is worldsystembuilder.com and Pam's book, My New Family and Me. This is Fran Capo on Fran's World. We'll be back the end of July. Thank you very much, Andrew Harrison. Pleasure working with you. Fran Capo signing out. And remember, create a good day. You are in charge of your destiny.
Shark, Shark Creative.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too, and now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better.
Shark.